91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside my co-host, Mr. Trevor Martin. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Zion. Excited to get it going. I know back a few months ago, we did the first Coaches Show for football season. Now let's transition to these Monday evenings, and basketball season's upon us. Girls have played a few games, and boys start soon. So let's kick it off here.
Yeah, so first fall one of the year, or sorry, winter one of the year. Still in fall mode. We'll start off with girls basketball. 3-0 right now. First 3-0 start since 2012. First under head coach Nick Rogers. They have a pretty good season going right now.
They really do, Zion. I mean, the impressive wins. I mean, you know, two at home again against Westfield, which I think is the most impressive one. And then, of course, Heritage Christian this past Saturday by 29 points. So very impressive win there for the Lady Arabians. And like you said, starting out the way they wanted to, 3-0. Of course, tomorrow we'll get to that as well. Tough game at Lawrence Central. But yeah, the way this team has started, really good confidence. I think the player that we'll mention as well, too, with Coach Rogers when he comes in a few minutes, is Ada Hupfer. I mean, the junior, but she is balling out, you know, 6'3", averaging a double-double. She is a menace on the court, and she's really exciting to watch and see a lot of offers. That, you know, it's always cool when there's D1 hype around a player, and that's what we have here at Pendleton Heights, and Ada Hupfer for sure for girls basketball. So, been great to see them start. I think they still got, you know, a lot of tough games still to come, especially in the non-conference, and we'll get into conference play as well on Friday. But yeah, this has been a good team to watch. The games that I've been able to watch here on the live stream, and we do a great job with that. So excited to see what this team is at right now and where they can definitely go. They've got a bright future ahead of them this season.
Yeah, especially here at the station, we kind of talk about their tough schedule a lot, and usually they have an easier matchup in Hamilton Heights. Of course, that one rescheduled to January, which was planned to be their season opener. So instead, they got a ranked opponent in Westfield, and they handled business. Hadn't beat them since, I believe, maybe 2017. Obviously, that one about a week or so ago, and they beat them 65-51. Then they went to travel to Newcastle's Fieldhouse, 62-31. They beat the Newcastle Trojans, which put them ahead in Hoosier Heritage Conference play. They sit number one place right now with a 1-0 record, and second behind them is 0-1 Newcastle. No one else in the Hoosier Heritage Conference has played a game, notably New Pals 4-0, Delta 3-0 right now. But I mean, after that win, they went on to play Heritage Christian at home this past Saturday. They won that 79-50. So this team's rolling right now.
They really are. And Zion, as you look at those, I mean, all double-digit wins, you know, the closest one being 14 points to Westfield. That's a game, too, that I think, you know, I'm sure Coach Rogers had scheduled, like you said, maybe starting up. They started 1-0. He's had success in those season openers, but to not have, you know, that, I guess you could say, like you said, easier opponent in Hamilton Heights to come into an atmosphere where Westfield, I know, I think I talked to you, and when I was in high school, they had a girl who went to Michigan, I believe. So they've had D1 players that are a great school, you know, bigger for sure. So that's one that you didn't, you know, you expect good things going in, but not maybe the way that they sort of dominated. I mean, the score, I think, was closer than the game was. I mean, dominating on the boards, Lady Arabians did, really looked good the entire game. So to win by 14 in that game, that was the one that really set, I think, the season off on the right note. And then, of course, Newcastle going that historic Newcastle Fieldhouse winning by 30, and then a 29-point victory. So, yeah, just those wins, when you do that math, that's, you know, over 60 points they've won in just those three games alone. So setting the bar really high for what they can do coming up in the rest of the season.
Yeah, Ada Hupfer currently 17th in Indiana for rebounds per game. Currently, she sits averaging 11.3. We're going to see that number climb. I had a stat ahead of the first Westfield game that she was on a streak of 5 double-doubles ahead of this season. I believe 68% of her games she has got a double-double in her high school career. And now this season, she's 2-for-3, breaking that streak in the opener against Westfield. But she's already back on it. And right now, averaging 19 points per game, she leads the team. She's the face of the Lady Arabians. And honestly, you watch a game, you don't know that. She does a lot more quietly on the court than what shows up in the stat books, but she's leading this team no matter what you say.
Yeah, and I think your point is great right there. And I think for sure, too, she's just a great facilitator. I mean, they, you know, put her obviously in the post, but she's able to hand it off on the wing and be able to, you know, make moves. She's not just standing in the post the whole time, which I think is, in this day and age, you know, you look at NBA, college, the way the game is going, it's those bigs that can, you know, they say that, like, 3-and-D are the ones that can play great defense, but also shoot, you know, shoot the three and be big inside as well. So Ada Hupfer, you know, I think she's only attempted 3 threes and made one of them. So she's 33% from behind the arc. So, you know, I think those numbers might increase a little bit. You expect her to be a lot more inside, but it's nice when you can have that threat from three, because again, there aren't a lot of girls that can guard her outside, of course, and then inside, she's probably at least 2 to 3 inches taller than most of the other centers she'll see on the teams that even Pendleton Heights will see, some of the best ones in the state, like Lawrence Central. I still think she'll be the tallest girl on the court, and hopefully she uses that to her advantage to, again, continue, like you said, that streak of those double-doubles. I think that's just going to continue for her, and again, almost 20 and 12, pretty much her average is there. Is really impressive, and I think that, you know, like you said, sets the bar high now, and I just think she's going to keep riding that out, and hopefully she can get you know, multiple 10, 15, even 20 games of those double-doubles. I think that's going to lead to the Pendleton Knights having success in all the games that they play, for sure, if she's out there.
Yeah, and when you talk about Pendleton Knights girls basketball, it's easy to look at last year and Casey Warfel's successes. Mm-hmm. And not to say that that team that made it all the way to regionals was one/two-dimensional with Casey and Ada, but this team has so many more outlets to look. I mean, Olivia Jones averaging 15 points per game right now. She wasn't doing that last year. She's turned into a really great defender, a lot of work put in this offseason, and they have a lot more targets to look to. The transfer, you know, I keep mentioning there's a transfer, but Coach Rogers wants to wipe off that tag. Sammy Brunk and Grace Lee, a new addition here, and obviously Ellie Warfel, the youngest Warfel sister. Aubrey Warfel's having a nice season right now. They're really putting the pieces together, and at an early note, they're kind of clicking on all cylinders, and, you know, really excited to see how this team can come together later down the stretch.
Yeah, for sure, Zion. I think, like you said, too, I think, you know, last year the focus was Casey, and of course Ada, they were that, you know, 1-2 punch for Pendleton Knights, but I think now you're able to see just how good the depth is of this team, for sure.
Yeah, and we'll mention here really quick before we get out of this, the boys basketball team, of course, 9-15 last year, and obviously they've got a new coach in Jared Rhodes. They haven't had a season opening win in a while, and next week, that one, we'll have their season opener at Anderson. So we'll get into all the X's and O's of that with Coach Rhodes as well as Coach Rogers here soon. But in the meantime, you're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style, haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at detoursalonandstyle.com. Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group. Retirement planning, risk management, and legacy planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001. Or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside my co-host, Mr. Trevor Martin, and in the studio, head coach of the Lady Arabian girls basketball team, Nick Rogers. Coach, you've got your team in a 3-0 spot right now, entering the second week of Lady Arabian basketball play. How you feeling today?
Yeah, feeling good. Tough test coming tomorrow night against LC, and a difficult stretch here, 4 games in 7 days. Should be an interesting stretch here for us.
All right, so we'll get into all those matchups soon, but through the early matchups this year, Westfield, Newcastle, and Heritage Christian, Pendleton Knights is allowing more points than in previous seasons. Through 3 games, the Arabians have allowed 44 points per game. What are your observations early about this team defensively?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of a roller coaster. I go back to, you know, in particular that Heritage Christian game. I thought there were stretches where definitely our DNA look great. But, you know, then there were times, you know, where we still kind of have some letdowns occasionally. So again, that's to be expected. I'm pushing them extremely hard. And I'm trying to get them to the point where we're locked in no matter who's on the court, playing at that kind of championship level. All the time. I called a timeout late against Heritage Christian and kind of got into them a little bit just because we were letting stuff happen in the fourth that we weren't letting happen earlier in the game. And those are some of the things that we're just trying to shore up. So not too concerned about it.
And Coach, through the first 3 games, you've seen a lot of new faces compared to last year. But as Zion and I talked about, the first 3-0 start since 2012. So through these first 3 games, what's been the most surprising part for you with the addition of these new girls to the team?
Oh, I mean, I think the depth first and foremost. Right. You know, I think that first game against Westfield, we almost had 5 or 6 in double figures. You know, I think Newcastle was kind of a That was a hard game to kind of get a flow in. And then with Heritage Christian, you know, we had, you know, Ada had a big one, Liv had a big one. But then, you know, just the stat sheet was just littered with, you know, steals, assists, rebounds, deflections. by so many different kids. So I think we're really starting to get kids to buy into, you know, if you're not making shots that night, what else can you do to contribute? Be a champion in your role. Our girls hear all the time, roles change. And I think right now, we're proud and happy with the depth. We just got to continue to be positive when, you know, somebody's not having a great one. We got to be able to shift that energy to somebody else, but then still produce in those other categories on the stat sheet.
Is this new uncharted territory to you? Have you dealt with this depth in previous coaching in your history?
Not at the varsity level. I've been a part of teams where, there was maybe, six, seven deep. But I mean, to have, a true 8, 9, 10, that's an interesting place to be. So, I think for us right now, it could be any given night, could be somebody's night, that they're hot, they're feeling it. What we haven't experienced yet is that game where nothing's going good for you, from anybody. Those are the ones that we're kind of interested to see, just to see, who's really going to step up and, kind of help lead and pull everybody across the finish line, type of situation. So I'm sure that's LC's going to be a very crazy environment. I know their student section, it's a loud gym. Their student section is going to be pretty crazy. So we've definitely talked about that and have our girls prepared for that tomorrow.
Coach, since you mentioned that Lawrence Central team, this time last year, Pendleton Heights suffered the most difficult week they'd seen all last year, earning their first, only back-to-back losses with Lawrence Central and Greenfield Central as well. So now in a year removed from those losses, how do you approach these same two matchups differently? Because now you have Greenfield Central coming here on Friday.
Yeah. Lawrence Central is a good team. I think right now in the IBCA poll, they're ranked number 2 in the state. Some of the other polls, I think they're still number 2 in 4A behind Homestead. They've got probably 4 to 5, potentially 6 Division I kids. I'd be crazy if I didn't say that they were, skilled and have a lot of talent across the floor. I think for us, it's just going to come down to preparation and, this is going to be our first true test of, we've got to go out, execute a game plan and fight through some adversity. So I think that'll be kind of the thing that we're watching for and keeping an eye on. And then, as soon as that Lawrence Central game's over, we'll start focusing on Greenfield Central, obviously first, since that's a conference opponent, and then Brownsburg Saturday, the very next day. I know those girls have had that Greenfield game circled on their calendar for about 365 days, and we're going to be ready for that one as well. So, like I said, tough stretch, but we believe our girls can do tough things, and we're looking to grow through this and prepare us for the postseason.
Now, with this Lawrence Central team, they're really highly ranked. What would a win over them? Obviously, you don't want to look too far ahead, but what would that do for your team? You've talked about previously, you think these girls are special. You just need to get them to know it and learn it. What would a win over this big of a team do for them and their self-esteem?
I think it would probably be more pivotal than, beating Noblesville late in the year last year. I think that helped some of those girls believe how good they were, because that had been a matchup that Noblesville had controlled for quite a while. And, Lawrence Central has had our number, for the last couple of years. So I think it would be huge for us. I think our girls just, have to stay kind of grounded in the moment. We got to have a lot of poise and composure in that environment. And we just got to go out and be us, not try doing things that are uncharacteristic, because that's what they want you to do. And go out and see what happens. But, yeah, I think it would be huge.
Yeah, and, you know, looking on the contrary of that, you've got a really hard schedule coming up. Lawrence Central, just to list the next lot of games coming up, Lawrence Central, Greenfield, then you got that whole tournament with Brownsburg, then Bishop Chittard, Mount Vernon, HSE, 3-0 Delta currently, and then Fishers.
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, this is going to be the monster stretch of your season. Let's say it doesn't fare how you want it to. Yeah. How do you keep going through the rest of the season? Basketball plays a long year. How do you keep these girls, you know, on the ball, ready, excited for these next games?
Yeah, you know, I think it goes to what we always preach, you know, like we choose to have a hard schedule. And in all reality, none of this stuff means anything as long as you're prepared for February. So that's how we're approaching it. We approach for, you know, we get ready for everybody the exact same. Yeah, it makes it tough when you have back-to-backs and things like that, but we're going to go out, lay it on the line every night, no matter who, what the jersey name says across from us, and come back, learn from whatever it was, win or a loss, lace them back up the next night, and go back out and battle again. So we firmly believe that, you know, putting yourself into the fire as many times as possible before February is what's going to help you down the road, and we believe in that, and that's what they're going to keep hearing from us.
Well, thanks for joining me, Coach. We'll see you tomorrow at LC.
All right, thank you.
All right, stay tuned for more on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by S&B Heating and Cooling. Located at 6879 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com. Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at bendellawnequip.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. I'm Zion Palmieri here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, joined here in the studio with my co-host, Mr. Trevor Martin, and in the studio head coach of the Arabian boys basketball team, Jared Roach. Coach, it's been a minute since we talked to you. How's your day going?
It's good. We just finished practice. It was a solid day. Thanks for having me on the show.
Obviously a new head coach here at Pendleton Heights. In it, you joined at an odd time because the Hoosier Heritage Conference is really evolving right now. We saw the departure of Delta, Newcastle, Shelbyville, all announced currently, and you'll play this season facing those teams. There's no county tournament this year. What do you make of all these changes in your first year as a head coach?
Yeah, I know that Madison County is probably upset that the tournament went away. Being my first year, I don't know any different. I've heard how great the atmosphere was, and that would have been cool to try to compete for. As far as the conference goes, again, I don't really know any different. But the message I try to give our team is control what we can control, and my job is to try to help the boys be ready to play night in and night out. So. People make a lot of money to make those decisions, and I'll stick to coaching the basketball.
Hey, Coach, I know you have that, you know, winning mindset coming in here, wanting to obviously perform to the best of your ability night in and night out, but the last time this Pendleton Heights boys basketball team didn't start a year 0-3 was 2019. How do you avoid that start and get going with some wins early on in the season?
Yeah, compete on the defensive end of the floor, share the ball, be unselfish. I feel like Coach Buck did a good job of laying a foundation, and what I've tried to do is just build off that. I think if you were to come into our practice tonight, you know, we didn't execute great, but it was intense, and guys were flying around making plays. And the message they're hearing from me is just compete. And if we compete and believe in each other and make the next play, we're going to have chances to win. I like our group. I really do. I think we're talented. I think we're deep. I'm excited. We scrimmage Thursday. I can't wait to see what it looks like against someone else.
What exactly are you building? Is it, you know, you intensity? Is it heart? Is it you mentioned competing is a huge thing for you. You know, how much is the team going to change compared to the previous play styles? What exactly are you building on top?
Yeah, I would say just right off the bat, defensively, I'm trying to get this group to play with more intensity, kind of more intentionality all the way around. So details, whether that be on the offensive end or defensive end. When you're coming off, to your point, it's been a while since we've had some early season success. It's been a while since we've had a winning record for the year. And just trying to forget that and, like, have fun playing the game. Play hard, play together, have fun. And if you do those things, then you do compete. You play for each other. And, again, what's different than last year, I hope it's fun to watch. I hope they're having fun playing it. And, I'm sure if we could avoid an 0-3 start, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to next Tuesday at Anderson.
Because you mentioned earlier on, one of the first questions I asked was about that scrimmage on Thursday. Like you said, how excited are you to be able to go against someone else in your own gym against Hamilton Heights to make your coaching debut? I know it's not that, you know, it's a scrimmage, but how excited are you for that matchup? And what are your thoughts on that?
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I hope our guys are too. You know, we've been, for the non-football guys, we've been at it for months. Football guys are a weekend, but we are cheating every play, every action. Like defensively, we know it's coming. You're not going to get beat. So it'll be good to play against somebody else who maybe there's an element of surprise. But like me personally, I'm pumped. Like whether it was assistant coach, the ops position, like that opening tip it's so exciting. And, I have been counting down the days for about a month now until this thing really kicks off.
Yeah, you mentioned the football players. Obviously, Cooper Sims was the star of this team last year. You've got Brant Gray, another guy. How difficult has that been practicing for a long, long time without those key players and now officially in the rotation about a week or so in?
So we were very conscious of it. We didn't put too much in without them. Mm-hmm. So it was more skill development than maybe I had initially thought I would do in the fall. I thought we'd have more in, but Brant and Cooper are such a big part of what we do. I didn't want the rest of the group to get too far ahead. So now we are, you know, really repping what we do and then slowly adding. We will be far from a finished product Thursday, Tuesday, even a month from now. We'll continue to add as we go, but, Wyatt, Elijah, Brant, Cooper, they've done a good job of picking it up in a short time.
How different would you say this team is, you know, from last year? I know you mentioned, you know, wanting to get out to fast starts and maybe just, you know, more high-level energy maybe than we've seen maybe in years past, more passes, more of that quick offense you've talked about.
Yeah, like I want to have fun coaching this team. I want them to have fun playing. And that's easy to say before we play a game and we faced any adversity. But I just want the feel to be enjoyable, and with that comes winning. You know, they go hand in hand, and I want a guy to hit a three and point to the passer. You know, I want the guys on the bench to genuinely be happy that someone else scored. You know, call doesn't go our way, it's okay. We make the next play, and we just talked about that today before practice. Body language is. You can tell a lot from a team and a program by reading their body language. And looking at last year's film, our guys didn't always have the best body language. And that is a big point of emphasis for me. I know it maybe seems small or not that big a deal, but it's one of my biggest points that I'm making, because I think if we fix our body language, we get more runs we get to go on. And again, we get to have more fun. And when we're having more fun, we're going to play harder. I mean, it all goes hand in hand. So just next play mentality, have fun doing it. And like I said, we've had some bumps. You know, it hasn't been perfect so far, but for the most part, I think guys are buying into it.
Yeah, as a first-time head coach, what pressures come with that? Obviously, hasn't had a winning season in a few years as the Pendleton Knights boys basketball program, but from everyone that I've heard, the team's really excited. The athletic department's really excited to have you on board. So what comes with pressure, if any?
As far as that stuff goes, there's no real added pressure. I want to compete. I want to win as many games as we can. And that would be the true, it'll be true in 5 years. It'll be as true in 10 years as it is right now. Now, there are some nerves, but that is just, you know, I've never actually done it before. I've been, and basketball has taken me to some pretty cool places, and I've been in some big time atmospheres, but I was never the one that had to call the timeout. So, getting this first one under my belt, you know, and at Anderson, arrival, the packed house, like, it is very, it's very exciting.
One final question here for you, Coach. Obviously, the transfer portal's shaking things up a lot. What does the team look like in terms of new faces or transfers that have added to this team? I've heard there's a good bit of people, and, you know, I've been to a few of those small practices a little while before. I didn't recognize a lot of those faces.
Yeah, so we have... on our varsity team, we have two new players to the program. Neither one is actually a transfer. They're homeschool.
Really?
And Bennett Long and Clark Emily. They're gonna have a role on this team. They were actually here the first team meeting. So the first time I ever got to meet anyone. Even the parent meeting, their parents were like the first ones to the meeting. So we kind of come in together. And we've had some younger kids transfer in as well, who I think would be good additions eventually. But as far as the core of the varsity group, it's mostly the same with, like I said, those two additions there.
One final question here. I know that was supposed to be my last one, but you made me think of one there. At the end of Coach Rogers' first game against Westfield, he also has some homeschool girls on his team. I asked him a question about the quote-unquote homeschool/transfers, and he's like, let's go ahead and wipe that tag off. At what point has this tag been wiped off with them being working with Pendleton Knights so long? Has that already happened? Are they Arabians at this point?
Oh, absolutely. They were both at the girls' game on Saturday. They're part of it. I think they feel like they're a part of it. I think there were probably, I know for a fact, there were some nerves when they started. But we have a good group of guys that made them feel welcome. And I think, you know, getting to go to football games and be in the student section and getting to be in the student section for the girls' game, I think they've settled in. And it's their first game, too, on Tuesday night. So I'm sure there will be some nerves because they've never been through it. But, yeah, they're Arabians.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me, Coach. I'm excited for the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Stay tuned for more on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios. Dental care for children and adults in Pendleton at 113 South Heritage Way. Phone is 765-229-5900. Online at drdanawright.com. This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
As more club and travel sports pop up every year, they often muddy the waters on what the purpose of sports should be for student athletes at this age.
But high school sports are different. It's not about becoming the best athletes. It's about becoming the best people.
It's not about scholarships. It's about coaches mentoring you, camaraderie with your teammates, and the connection you build with your school community.
It's not about year-round training. It's about developing resilience, responsibility, and a strong work ethic for life.
It's not about what am I going to get out of this. It's about playing for something bigger than yourself, for your team, your school, and your entire community.
High school sports help us grow in ways that will serve us for the rest of our lives, not just in the game.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Neidig. Support what makes education-based athletics different by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is developing students as people. This is fulfilling a greater purpose. This is your IHSAA.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you to the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Emma Todd, and I'm your host, and I'm here with
Chris Chambers.
And we're going to go ahead and talk about you have our been our athletic trainer for 15 years. Isn't that right? Since 2010?
Yeah, it's 15, almost 16. Yep.
So, fresh out of high school, you chose to go into athletic science. Why did that path interest you so much?
Well, when I first started college at the University of Louisville, I was doing physical education, and I just found that it wasn't something I thought I would do, didn't want to do. But then I transferred to Anderson University for athletic training, and I didn't know much about it, and I just fell in love with it. So that's kind of where I started with it, and I did that program in 3 years. And then stuck with it as in, trying to figure out where I wanted to go with college or high school. But, when I took the position here at the high school, it felt like a home and felt like something I enjoyed working with high school athletes.
Mm-hmm. So fresh out of high school you went to both Ball State and Anderson University. So what job were you like mainly looking for after college?
Yeah. So when I went to AU, Anderson University, and then after that, I thought, man, I want to stay within the college setting. So I went to Ball State to get my master's. And in that time, I worked with women's soccer, and I really enjoyed it. Thought, man, I just want to stay with college. But ended up, I took a job at a chiropractic office here in Pendleton for 3 years. And then the opening came up for Pendleton Heights High School, and I decided to jump right on it and see if I liked it. And I still do enjoy it, but I really fell in love with working with the high school setting. So that's why I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. So while there are very similar jobs, what was the biggest difference between like an athletic trainer and a chiropractic physician assistant?
Yeah, so with the chiropractic clinic, so we would have patients come in. The majority were older. We would have some athletes, but we would do. I did some evaluation stuff, imaging. I helped with imaging. We did some more kind of like biomechanical type stuff, and then did some treatment. Well, I didn't do the treatment. The chiropractor did adjustments. And then I would assist with some rehab type of stuff. But I facilitated in a lot of front office work as well in the office setting, more than just for, athletic training stuff. So I kind of dabbled into a lot of areas as far as office, mm-hmm. in the office setting. But then, taking on the role as like the athletic training part, for like high school. Did you just ask for the comparison?
Yeah. Like the
similarities.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still do evaluations. So that was part of it. We don't have imaging here. But I definitely do the rehab part as well. So I would definitely say, evaluation and rehab, would be the similarities of those.
Mm-hmm. So you did switch over from like an athletic trainer, assistant to like a chiropractic physical assistant. So what, like, were you just interested in chiropractic physician? Like, why did you switch from?
That's a good question. But when I was in high school, my senior year, I worked for a chiropractor, and I did the front office work. So basically, I took patients, like took their information, phone calls, and stuff like that. So I started kind of with a chiropractic knowledge and treatment and stuff like that, as far as getting treatment. And I just, I value that type of treatment. And so when I moved to Anderson to go to Anderson University and do athletic training, I have actually had a connection with the chiropractor that was in Pendleton. The chiropractor I worked for in Louisville was friends with the chiropractor in Pendleton. So I reached out after I was about to graduate from Ball State just to see kind of where he was at. And he just happened to have an opening for me and offered me a job, and I took it.
Yeah. So after your job as a physician assistant at Pendleton Chiropractic, were you looking for like another job? And like after your chiropractic job, you went into athletic trainers. Were there other high schools that you were interested in? Like why, what made you choose Pendleton?
Well, when I was in, when I was working at the chiropractic office, I wanted to be involved with the high school somehow. They already had an athletic trainer, Denny, and I didn't know that this position was going to be open, but that had kind of been a goal of mine at some point if it did. And the chiropractic office in Pendleton kind of, I don't know, meant to be or however, but his office was actually closing. So I kind of didn't have a job as this job opened up. So it was almost like a couple months difference between not having a job at the chiropractic office to the high school actually opening up. So it just worked out perfectly.
Yeah. So like I said earlier, you've been here since 2010. What does being at Pendleton Heights for 15 years mean to you?
Well, I mean, this community has been great. Just how we, you know, everybody, like when I came in, they accepted me as far as, you know, letting me do my job. They trusted me. I've just enjoyed, you know, each staff member. I've enjoyed the high school kids. So it's been kind of like a family atmosphere for me in the community. And I'm from a suburb area in Louisville. And we didn't, it's kind of different than like the small community town that I wasn't, like I just wasn't used to it. So I just fell in love with it when I came here. And so I couldn't imagine myself being in a different place just because I've enjoyed it so much here.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think the best part about being an athletic trainer is?
Well, I get to watch sports every day. And so I've grew up watching sports and loving sports, building relationships, like I said, with the coaches and a lot of the high school students as they come in. Unfortunately, a lot of the relationships I build are closer with the kids that are hurt because mm-hmm. They have to see me every day. But I enjoy being able to be there and assist them in getting better and kind of watch them return to play and be the one to, you know, help them get there. And then, like I said, just, you know, being in the atmosphere of games, I love that setting, being there, mm-hmm. part of the team.
Yeah. So what is a normal, like typical day look for you as an athletic trainer?
Well, before I would have said during the day, I'm available and I see kids throughout the day for treatments and things like that. But now currently I'm doing other things, but coming in, seeing kids for treatments, seeing new evaluations right after school. And then once I can either do rehab or do evaluations on new injuries, then I currently try to go to, you know, I'm at football practice because it's the fall. And then I may go, you know, drive around and check on soccer or check on other sports. If it was winter sports, I'm inside. So I can, you know, check by and see if coaches need, you know, just inform them, communicate with them on any athletes that are hurt. And the same would be for spring. Maybe with baseball, softball, track, those type of things. So,
mm-hmm. So, what do you think is the most interesting injury that you've had to work with, or have like seen, or anything like that?
The most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never want to see kids that have to have season-ending injuries, mm-hmm. ACLs, or you know, fractures that might put them out, or I mean, catastrophic injuries such as like tibia fibula fractures, having to handle those are pretty intense. You know, concussions are, you know, I deal with those quite a bit. But I mean, dislocations probably. I would say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can realign them some, and then some you just have to splint.
So last question, what have you learned the most from when you started to now 15 years later?
Diving into working with high school athletes was a little different than college, I think, because in college, you're solely on one sport mostly, and so like the volume isn't as big. High school setting, I have every athlete or every sport. So unfortunately, I get tied in a lot of directions. But experience, probably. Learning to always, you know, never be content with how I'm doing things, always looking to change to be better with, you know, my skill sets or, you know, the emergency action plans or anything that I can be better prepared about would be more, you know, so I would say experience, confidence, and taking care of injuries and, you know, communication with parents, coaches, things like that.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Emma Todd, and I was with
Chris Chambers.
Thank you.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by the Adam Custer Insurance Agency, American Family Insurance, Home, Auto, Life, Farm, and Commercial Insurance in Pendleton and Oaklanden, 765-221-2082.
Tired of boring old podcasts? Flip it around with Arabian Rundown, our bi-weekly podcast posted every other Thursday. This isn't your typical podcast. Get ready to dive into wild conversations, fun topics, and awesome conversations with the WEEM podcast staff. Listen to Arabian Rundown anywhere you get your podcasts. Watch the video version on our YouTube at WEEM Media. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside my co-host here, Mr. Trevor Martin. Trevor, I think we've had a really good, it's really weird to call you Trevor here.
You're, I know,
like,
right?
My teacher, yeah, but yeah, right. You're like not much older than me.
I'm not my Mr. Martin title, yeah. Yeah, it's been over.
Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah. It's been a good day. I think, you know, good to have both coaches in here, of course. Coach Rogers, Coach Rhodes, you know, for his first time. I know you interviewed him when he first got hired in the spring, but just good to hear his perspective on things. We were talking off air. It was kind of interesting just to hear him talk about how, you know, for him, it's like he knows the history a little bit, knows how big the gyms got and how loud the crowds were for county tournament and stuff, like in the conference shifting. You know, people that have, you know, been in Pendleton their whole lives or 10, 20, 30 years, they're, you know, kind of up in arms, or it's, you know, all these changes happening all at once, no county tournament, the conference is going to get smaller until I'm sure some teams will get added eventually. But it's kind of cool to hear his perspective, you know, maybe some nerves a little bit, you know, first time coaching and things like that. But I think it was just good to get him in the studio. Still have, you know, 8 days till their first game against Anderson, but I could just tell his excitement too for Thursday, that first scrimmage. And of course, we'll talk to him next Monday and Tuesday for the pregame interview before that game. But yeah, I mean, girls are rolling. Good to hear from Coach Rhodes. Yeah, it's just been a good hour so far. Zion's still got, you know, a few minutes. We'll talk here before we wrap things up. But it's been really fun. Just, you know, good for us to sort of tag team the interview, both to ask them some questions, but just good to be in here and hearing what they both have to say.
Yeah, we'll start with the guys' team, like you mentioned. A lot of new faces for them with the two homeschool guys. The girls' basketball team also saw a little bit of that. It's just a lot of interesting times here with the Hoosier Heritage Conference evolving. Delta announced their departure, so they'll finish this year, and they'll play one more, and then they'll depart. And you got Newcastle and Shelbyville with their final year here. So many new things. And I think it's funny, as Coach Rhodes said, he's like, I don't know the difference. Yeah. This is my first year.
Right,
here,
he didn't
you know
the difference, yeah.
And you got to be excited to go play Anderson, a team that's beat up on the Pendleton Heights Arabians boys team recently. And, you know, this, we haven't seen the strongest boys teams here in a good bit. You mentioned 2019, the last time they didn't start 0-3. So, you know, I'm very excited for that matchup. Get to travel into enemy territory, the backyard rivalry, and, you know, maybe the Arabians can knock their first week one win since 2019.
I think so, Zion. And I think the thing, too, like you said, you know, with Coach Rhodes not knowing that history, but I think for him, it's like he's not going to go in with any, like, added pressure, like, oh, what's your record against Anderson? He's 0-0 against all the teams we'll play. So I think for him, it's like the target's off the back, the pressure's off. It's like, let's just go play ball. So I think with him, like, just that new voice of the team, you know, like you said, Zion, I've been with some of those, you know, gotten some video for the team, which I'm sure we'll get some content out soon for the boys basketball team. But anyway, just to see, you know, them in practice, and I think just, you know, the new voice leading, actually one of my good friends, Carter Aldridge, is, you know, the JV coach, but just to see someone, you know, an alum back with the team, and just to see a new voice leading, I just think is, you know, what this team, and again, a legend in Coach Buck, I'm sure it's, you know, it's going to be daunting in the first home game against Wapahana, you know, on that Saturday after Thanksgiving, you know, for that, the first time, you know, home court, you know, he's coaching on the floor where, you know, I'm sure he talked to Coach Buck, you know, but the legend himself for sure. And then, you know, for Anderson, it's Joe Buck's dad, Phil Buck, is, you know, his name's on the court at Anderson. So a lot of history involved with the two schools, obviously. But I think for him, he's just going to go out and play some high-powered, high-octane offense. And I'm excited to see that game. I'll probably, you know, be back here in the studio with whoever our board op is tonight. But I'm just excited to hear you on the call, Zion. I'm just excited for that game to start boys basketball. It's always an exciting time of year when we got both boys and girls playing. It's been fun to kind of focus on the girls these first four games. And, of course, we'll shift to doing both of them throughout the rest of the year. But, yeah, just excited to get this thing going and excited to see what Coach Rhodes can do in his tenure.
Yeah, last year the guys' team, 9-15, not the record they were looking for. The only last time they achieved double-digit wins was in the 23-24 season where they went 11-13. You know, we've talked a lot last year. It wasn't the season they wanted. And this year's going to look different. I'm excited. A new fire has kind of been lit here at Pendleton Heights for basketball. He's a new fiery coach. He's seen basketball at all different levels. And, you know, I like it with the new guys, the transfers, this, that, and the other thing. You know, day one he got here, so did everyone else. This team is new, and they've been new for a while now. And like he mentioned, they are all Arabians from now on. And you know, they're going to start getting together, playing cohesively, and it starts next week in 8 days.
It really does, Zion. I think the thing, you know, Coach Rhodes talked about that, you know, we mentioned too a little bit, is how he really didn't implement a lot of the offense until, you know, guys like Brant Gray and Cooper Sims get back, which I think is a good thing to notice, because he could have kind of gone ahead, you know, can Cooper Sims, didn't he commit to Bethel, Colin? I mean, he's going to go on and play. I think it was Bethel. So smaller, I think maybe D2, D3 school, but still committed for basketball. Obviously, great football player, great receiver for the Arabians on the football team this season. But for him to commit for basketball, that's his sport, that's his passion. But like you said, too, it's interesting, you know, if we talked about transfers, maybe some guys, you know, I know they had to make cuts, unfortunately. That's always a harsh reality of varsity basketball for sure. But just to see those new faces, and like you said too, I think having, like you mentioned, just in general, the transfer portal is a thing. But you know, you think of schools like, you know, New Pal, like Cathedral, you know, those Orange Central, even, you know, Hamilton Southeastern, those bigger schools, you know, in Hamilton County, Marion County, that you expect maybe some of those transfers to come to. But for Pendleton Heights, I think, you know, I think the guys you mentioned, I think at least one of them's a center. So just to have the height, the depth, just the different things about this team that is unlike, I mean, my whole career here, I graduated in 2021, didn't really see any transfers come in, but just to see the way things have evolved into where we're at now, you know, you see it in college, you see it now in high school. I think it's to the benefit of every team that gets those transfers to come in. And Pendleton Heights, I think, will benefit from having those two guys, Bennett and Clark, you mentioned, that are going to be on the team this year. So just excited to see where that brings Pendleton Heights to, because it's a whole other level. Those guys have been bought in since, he said, the first meeting. He said, is, you know, even those two guys' parents were the first ones at the meeting. So they're bought in. They're ready to go. So I think with him at the helm, it's just going to be exciting to watch and see. I think just new energy, new face. Pendleton Heights, you know, has had a little bit of that. You know, obviously Coach Buck came back for the last couple years, just different coaches the last few years, but Coach Rhodes has what it takes, and I'm excited just to see what he can do.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, if you look at the guys' schedule and the girls' schedule, I mean it nicely, but it's kind of night and day. Guys are playing a little bit easier schools compared to the girls, because they're running the gauntlet in the next month. Lawrence Central, Greenfield, Brownsburg, Bishop Chittard, Mount Vernon at home versus HSE, then you got 3-0 Delta currently, and then Fishers. And then you talk about the guys' team, you know, you've got some schools on there that ideally you wouldn't want to play, but this program hasn't had a lot of success, and they got to ease into that gauntlet schedule that the girls have now. Girls are coming off a sectional title. You know, I like how they have it, and I think with Coach Rhodes at the helm, you can kind of ease into that, you know, and I'll use that to transition to the girls here with the gauntlet. Next, we'll see them at Lawrence Central tomorrow, number two team in the state. I mean, what more could you want? This is a top 10 ranked matchup.
Yeah, you really, nothing better you could want, Zion. I mean, last year, you know, it wasn't a close game, and Pendleton Heights struggled a little bit in that one, but again, you mentioned, and I didn't realize, you know, how good of a team they are. Again, highly ranked team, like you said, number two in the state. But to, like you said, too, having four, five, even six Division I athletes, it's like that's a whole starting five, probably plus someone off the bench. If he really means that six girls are getting offers, maybe going to commit to the D1 level. So, again, but I think what he mentioned, too, it's great for his girls. You know, I think something we mentioned would be, you know, clip worthy for sure would be when he mentioned, we're just getting ready for February. Like all these games, they're important. You don't want to lose them. But if you could say you play Lawrence Central, thankfully they're not in the sectional, so you wouldn't have to see them until later on, of course, in the postseason. But I think to schedule teams like Coach Rogers does, like, you know, Chad Smith, our athletic director, what he's able to do to bring in some of the best teams in the state, whether that's here or, like he said, to their student section, you know, it's a Tuesday night, Zion, but I can imagine that crowd's going to be amped up. They got a 3-0 team. We got a 3-0 team at Pendleton Heights. So it's going to be one where both teams are going to want it, stay undefeated in the season, but also I think you're just going to see two teams ready to go at it, you know, Pendleton Heights had a sour taste in their mouth from last year, how that game, you know, ended. I think, of course, the Greenfield game, too. I know he said that game's been circled on their calendar, too, since Pendleton Heights, I believe, lost by a point to Greenfield Central last year in that matchup. So definitely want to turn things around for Friday. But, of course, that's the focus after Tuesday. I mean, that's the one of the week you could mention. Of course, like you said, Brownsburg on Saturday. That's a big game, Lawrence Central. But if you want to win one this week, it's against Greenfield to improve to 2-0 in the conference. That's the most important one. But, of course, you get those kind of, I don't want to say tune-ups. Maybe that's not the right word. But you want to have those games where you're building up, continuing your success on into the season. But yeah, the way the schedules light up, like you said, it's a gauntlet for sure these next 7 to 8 games. But man, they're going to just be good ones to see. Hopefully, Pendleton Heights, you know, the fans will show out, the students for home games, even some away games if they're not too far away. I'm just excited to, what this team has done. And again, just the excitement of the team. You know, there's still a couple seniors, right? But having Ada Hupfer as a junior, she's got all these offers. She still has one more whole season after this, right? And so I just think the potential of what this team can accomplish, hopefully repeating as sectional champs later on in the season, would be really impressive to see.
Yeah, and I went and looked at the last year's matchup with Lawrence Central today because I remember at halftime it was pretty close. It was actually a tied game at halftime versus Lawrence Central. At the time when we played them last year, they were number one in the state. And you got to think, like, you know, this was a really highly predicted team last year, and they're returning a lot of good girls. You mentioned the Division One athletes in their team, but, I mean, they didn't win their sectional last year. Lawrence North, the eventual state champions, beat them and then moved on to beat Pendleton Heights. So this is a team that's coming off of a sectional championship loss, and they're hungry and they're looking to build more. And this is a program in Pendleton Heights that a lot of teams see in their schedule and like, you know, that's going to be a game.
Oh yeah.
And for both of these teams, Pendleton Heights has a chance to kind of quote unquote shock the world and go into enemy territory, a place that has a lot of culture. I mean, even Coach Richmond's told us that.
Oh, yeah.
Very fiery building. I've been there before to see the Lady Arabians play, and they've got a chance, you know, to again quote unquote shock the world. And what I think here is with their tough schedule, I feel like it's going to swing in one to two ways, or I guess technically three. You know, they win a lot of these games. They're rolling into the season, maybe another win streak like we saw last year. I believe they won like almost 12 to 13 games. Or, you know, they could get knocked down and punched in the face and fall a lot of these games. And then you move to Coach Rogers' prior point, you know, we're here to play in February and get ready for that. Or, you know, you could fare about equally and just, you know, keep building character and moving on. I'm really excited to see how they fare on the gauntlet.
Yeah, I know, Zion, like you said, the gauntlet's probably the best word to describe that because it is such an uphill battle. You think a lot of those games, you know, some road, and of course home games, you get that atmosphere a little bit back on your side with the fans here for sure. But I think, like we're talking about, I've said it a couple times now, but with Coach Rogers talking about, you know, playing for February, it's like, I think having a coach saying that kind of takes the pressure off a little bit because he's not saying, gotta win against LC. I mean, of course, he's going to be amped up in the pregame and wanting his girls to go out there and compete. But at the same time, though, it's not like it's a must win. Of course, you know, your conference games, those 7 games you play, those are the ones you want to go 7-0 in. Those are the ones that are the most important. The other ones, you can kind of see them, like you said, Zion, as, you know, like I said, maybe tune-ups or just games that, you know, you're preparing to get better for, you know, game in and game out. You know, even Coach Rhodes kind of said it too. They don't even have the whole, I mean, I'm sure they've got all the sets offered and all those things like that, but they're going to hit their peak, you know, in March, you know, when the boys sectional is. So I think it's like you're playing each game to get, you know, I feel like I've heard coaches say, it sounds like coach speak, but, you know, 1% better. Each game you find something to work on, even, you know, as broadcasters, you're always finding one more thing you can get better for the next game. So I think having Coach Rogers kind of taking the pressure off those girls, knowing that they've been in this moments last year, yes, of course, last year was a home game against Lawrence Central. Now you got to go into enemy territory. But I just think that's kind of the best thing. I think, you know, I know Coach Richmond mentions it too. He loves being that road team, that road dog that goes in and, you know, just makes all, you know, the fans upset, quiets the crowd, things like that. So I think that's the atmosphere that Pendleton Heights is going to expect tomorrow against Lawrence Central. Even though it's a Tuesday night, those fans are going to be out and loud. The high school students will be there. Raucous crowd for sure. But I think if they can just compete, like you said, Zion, the first half, you know, I think Lawrence Central ended up winning by 26 points last year. But starting out, they were able to keep it close at half. So I think if they can just hang in there, stay within 5 to 10 points throughout most of the game, then maybe at the end is when you hit that final gear and you're able to come out with a victory. So I think Pendleton Heights, they'll keep it closer than last year. The way they played almost 80 points against Heritage Christian last week and the way they played this far this season, I think they're set up for success. It'll be a very highly contested and, again, like you said, a top 10 matchup. Excited to see how they compete tomorrow evening.
Yeah, and especially, like, I mean, they're playing in this tournament in Warsaw on this next Saturday, and this is a really good tournament. They got a chance to play in this one where they're going to take on Brownsburg first, and they keep winning. They might have a chance to play Warsaw, the state runner-ups, and many other really good teams. It's called the Sneakers for Santa tournament. That's, it's a charity tournament. Yeah. Yeah. Have fun, you know? Right. And not to say these girls aren't, but, like, this does seem like a gauntlet schedule, and that can seem daunting. They're going to have fun. They're going to go through this, you know, pretty well, and, you know, who knows? They might win this thing.
Exactly. And I think for them, too, it's just, you know, kind of being grateful for the opportunity. Like, being able to, because I'm not sure how that works, you know, if Brownsburg's, or like you said, Warsaw's the host.
No clue.
So it's like, I was going to say, like, you even being able to be, you know, invited or knowing this is, you know, in years past, maybe it's like, oh, we're not going to schedule Pendleton Heights. But now it's like, you're a quality team you're playing. So go in, yeah, like you said, pressure's off. It's a holiday tournament. Yeah, Sneakers for Santa. Maybe he'll be there. I don't know.
Yeah,
but just
who
like,
knows?
But yeah, exactly. But just like to have fun, you know, you want to compete. Yeah, if you win one, you keep winning throughout the day. So I think it's just, yeah, a good attitude to have. Shouldn't have a lot of pressure. You're playing, you know, for fun, so to speak, but also you're playing to win and compete. But I think this team with Lady Ravens especially, it's like it goes hand in hand, right? It's like they compete hard, but they're, you know, they're friends off the court, I feel like. And so just that chemistry that they have on and off the court is what leads to success. But I think, you know, for example, yeah, that game or those, yeah, games they could play, one against Brownsburg for sure at 2 o'clock, and then we'll see if they keep winning, they'll keep playing there in that tournament. But again, that's one of those where you, yeah, pressure should be off. You're just playing with your girls, right? You got a great coach and Coach Rogers, great coaching staff he's got with him too. So I just think if they have that atmosphere, when you play loose, you know, you don't play like there's not like a care in the world, but when you play loose, play free, that's, I think, when the best results come in basketball. And a lot of sports, that's true, but I think especially on the basketball court, when you got more assists, you're having fun, not turning the ball over, that's when success starts, and that's where fun happens as well, too. So I think that intersection of fun and happiness there is definitely what's going to help this team be prepared. Because like you said, that gauntlet, they could go in thinking, oh, there's so much pressure. But if you play kind of, yeah, that hands-off approach, hands-free, things like that, I think they'll be set up for more success in the next gauntlet of the 7 to 8 games they have coming up.
Yeah, and I'll add one more thing here. The other matchup is Friday, Greenfield Central at home. Last year, this was a game. I was on that call, and it was like 58-59, I believe. Pendleton Heights lost that one, ended up being 60-59. And it was last second. Ada Huffer scores a bucket. I believe it, like, someone shot it. They missed it. Ada Huffer gets the rebound, the putback. But, like, a foul, one thing led to another. It didn't count for Pendleton Heights, and they were fiery. They thought they got the call. One thing, you know, you can't argue calls at right. The end of the day when you know the clock hits triple zeros. And for Pendleton Heights, this is a game they want back, and they're gonna. I guarantee that they will take this team down to the stretch. And it's always close with Greenfield Central, and they will outwork them. And I think this is one they will win. Truly for me, I know I'm a little biased, but man. They were so, I don't want to say angry, but they were passionate after that game. You don't want to lose to Greenfield Central. Only conference game they dropped last year, meaning right. They split the title with Mount Vernon. Yeah. And they handled business against the two times they played Mount Vernon. They're going to win this Greenfield game.
Oh, yeah. I think like you said, Zion, I mean, even Coach Rogers mentioned, I mean, you know, new faces, some new girls on the team, but Ada Huffer being one, you know, Aubrey Werfel, a couple other girls on the team. They know that loss. They're circling that game. It's at home in front of your home fans. So that's one they're definitely going to be up for, be amped for. Because, yeah, that was the only thing that separated them from being the undefeated conference champs last year. So they're going to be ready to go on Friday night.
And with that, that'll about wrap up today's Coaches Show. We'll be back same time next week, 5 to 6, for our normal Winter Coaches Show, where you'll hear from head coach Nick Rogers as well as Jared Rhodes for the boys and girls basketball teams. And then with that, tomorrow we will be at Lawrence Central. That'll be Liam Davis and Connor Weflin on the call against the number 2 team in the state, Lawrence Central Bears. And then Friday we'll be here at Pendleton Heights to take on the Greenfield Central Cougars. We're not playing. We're broadcasting.
Yeah, right, yes.
Both of those games, 7:30 tip, 7:15 pregame show. And then Friday, we've got the live stream. Mm-hmm. So a lot of exciting things going on here. But for Trevor Martin, I'm Zion Palmieri. Thanks for tuning in. Whether you listen to 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the whole thing, we really appreciate it. Finally, thanks to all our sponsors and contributors and everyone who makes this happen. You are listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.